13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, continuing our study on charity. And kind of a fun thought tonight. I'm starting to have fun with the title of this series, Charity, a More Excellent Way. And you start reading some of these verses and it just kind of gets fun. You know, it's okay to have fun at church, isn't it? Yeah. It's okay to have fun studying the Bible, right? Yeah. And so tonight, we'll look at verse 2, the end of that verse. And the Bible says this. We'll begin reading verse 1 of chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13, 1. The Bible says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And of course, all of this predicated by chapter 12 and the discussion about spiritual gifts, but particularly verse 31 of that chapter, the Bible says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And that's the title of our series, A More Excellent Way, being charity. And so tonight's message title underneath that, A More Excellent Way, is A More Excellent Way to Move Mountains. To move mountains. And Lord really blessed my heart with this, so I hope it'll be a blessing to your heart and as we go through this. All right, so charity. If you recall, the definition of charity that we've given out here is the disposition of heart to think favorably toward others, especially the church, and to do them good in a physical sense and in a spiritual sense. And we put all that together out of Webster's Dictionary and how the Bible defines charity and how it fits within some of the context of Scripture. So it's the disposition of heart to think favorably toward others, especially the church, and to do them good both in a physical sense and a spiritual sense. So it's, you know, it's a whole lot more than just love. Come on, guys. Right? I mean, all the new perversions just change that word to love. And charity is a whole lot more than love. Oh, sure, it's a part of it. But as I said before, I'm going to pull my hair out the next wedding I go to, and it's, you know, love and love and love and love, right? No, the Bible says it's charity. There's a difference there. Okay, it's spelled differently, so it's a different word. Anyway, get off my soapbox now. So far, we have seen charity is a more excellent way to speak out of verse 1, and that charity is a more excellent way to learn out of the first part of verse 2. And so as we studied through that and we got into chapter 14 and we had to set right the things about tongues, but all through chapter 14 was laid in there about edifying the church. Edifying the church, edifying the church. Paul said, I'd rather speak with five words and understanding than 10,000 words and an unknown tongue. And so we know that the Bible is talking about, especially in these three chapters, the context is the edification of the church. That's why the Holy Spirit gives the spiritual gifts that he gives. It's not for me so that I can say, boy, aren't I a great speaker? No, it's so that I can edify the church. It's not for you to, you know, for whatever spiritual gift the Lord has given you so that you can pat your chest and say, look at what God gave me. No, it's so we can edify the church. And of course, chapter 13 then with charity is the tipping point on both of those. And charity being that disposition to think favorably towards your fellow man and do them good. So we've seen a more excellent way to speak, a more excellent way to learn. I think you ought to want to learn the Bible. It ought to be a desire of your heart to learn the Bible. But the question is, why do you want to learn the Bible? Do you want to learn it so that you can have a big head and prove to everybody that you know more about the Bible than they do? Or do you want to learn the Bible so that you can help somebody with it? That's charity. That's the charitable way to learn. I'm learning so that I can give it out to somebody, right? As Paul exhorted Timothy, right? And teach men who are able to teach others also, right? That's the New Testament biblical pattern in the church. That's what God wants. That's what he expects of us. And the only way we're going to carry that out is to have charity about ourselves. And we've been given a lot here, amen? We've been blessed here. We've been given a lot of Bible knowledge. We've been given a lot of Bible teaching. So what are we doing with it? Are we just holding it to ourselves and being satisfied to be on top of Knowledge Mountain, or are we trying to give it out and be a blessing to somebody? And just to remind you, in chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Right, amen. All right, so tonight we're looking at the end of verse 2. The Bible says, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And so a more excellent way to move mountains tonight, turn over to Matthew 17. Matthew 17, you'll need Matthew 21 as well. Twice in the teachings of Christ and the life of Christ, he mentions faith that can move mountains. And so I think it's beneficial for us to look at that tonight. Matthew 17 and Matthew 21. And we'll begin looking first at Matthew 17. Now this is following the Mount of Transfiguration as Jesus, James, John, and Peter come down off the mountain. And of course they've had the great experience there with Christ and the voice from heaven from the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." And after Peter's offer to build three different tabernacles, and God said, "No, my Son is greater than Elijah, and he's greater than Moses, and so you need to hear him." And they come down off the mountain, and they encounter a situation. Verse 14, the Bible says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and often in the water, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me.' And Jesus rebuked the devil and departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour." I'm just really glad God will operate in light of my weakness, aren't you? Because I'm a mess most of the time. And he's good all the time. Amen. Verse 19, "Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, 'Why could not we cast him out?' And Jesus said unto them, 'Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and shall say unto this mountain,'" now this is curious. I didn't get this till the other day. When I was in Israel and we were over in the Galilee area, there's one mountain that stands out above them all. It's Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon's about 9,000 feet. It's snow-capped all year long. And they say that's the mountain that Jesus was on where he was transfigured. Now, if that's the case, that's a big mountain. Okay? But he looked at it, and he says this to him. He says, "If you have great faith as grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, 'Remove hence to yonder place,' and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind," talking about the devil, "goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." Okay? And so, we don't need to get into a discussion of the charismatic movement of that tonight, but this just suffice to say the disciples had not been commissioned and had not been given the ability to do those signs, wonders, and miracles yet. And so the pattern with Jesus with them was, you better pray and fast if you want that evil spirit out of people. So guess what, guys? We're not apostles either. Guess what our standard is? You better pray and fast. No laying hands on, none of this hocus pocus mess. You better pray and fast, just like we talked about a couple Sunday nights ago. All right? Anyway, so Jesus said this. He said, "If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed," and we know that ain't very big, right? That's tiny. And so Jesus was saying, if you've got just that much faith, you could move a mountain, a physical mountain. Look over at chapter 21. Chapter 21 of Matthew, verse 17. Matthew 21, verse 17 says, "And he left them," talking about Jesus, "and went out to the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, 'Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever.' And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, 'How soon is the fig tree withered away?' Jesus answered and said unto them, 'Verily, verily, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed and be cast into the sea," it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And so both times that Jesus mentioned faith to move a mountain, he's talking about prayer. It's mentioned in both contexts. Back in 1 Corinthians 13, you don't have to necessarily turn back there yet. Well, yeah, go ahead, turn back there. It'll be fine. When the Bible says, "And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing." Really, what we're talking about here in context of everything is prayer, right? Now, honestly, I don't know if anybody'd be honest with me tonight. Has anybody tried that? Has anybody stepped out on your porch and said, Brumley Mountain, be moved? I see some smiles, guilty smiles. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't have the faith as a grain of mustard seed. Because you know what? We look at that, we think about that, and we think, it's what? Impossible. Right? And then, of course, the scriptures flood into your mind, well, with men, all things, right? With men, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. Brother Knox said one time, he'd probably shoot me for saying this. He was preaching a message, and he was down on the boardwalk in Daytona. And he was talking with a guy, witnessing to him, and this guy came up to him and said, I tell you what, man, he said, if you can move that palm tree into the ocean, he said, I'll believe what you're saying. And so James said, he took a step back and he said, palm tree be thou removed. And he said, it didn't go anywhere. Right? So we've all been in that kind of situation before, okay? But look, I don't have that kind of faith to move a mountain. Not I can't move Bear Town. I don't have that kind of faith. I don't have the faith to move Brumley Mountain. But if we start thinking about our lives in a spiritual sense, there's been some mountains moved, haven't there? I told Miss Karen her mom's going to be a part of this tonight. Hey guys, that's a big mountain God moved right there. Big mountain. WLRV is a big mountain God's moving right now. We're still having to dynamite a few things, but, right, it's going. Now, the whole point of all that tonight is to say this. Both of those accounts were tied to prayer. In Matthew 17, it's tied to devil possession. In Matthew 21, it was tied to fruitlessness. Now, we would all agree that someone possessed with a devil, that's a big spiritual mountain to get over. But you know, I think we'd also all have to agree that fruitlessness in the church is another big mountain you got to get over. And the Lord said, if you'll have some faith, we can move that mountain. And so I wonder tonight, just as a way of application in my life and your life, what kind of mountains does God need to move in your life? But that's not what charity is. Paul said, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. We could look around this room tonight, and Brother Greg prayed it. Not everybody had a prayer request, but I know, I don't know what they are, but I know every one of us has a mountain in our life right now. So I'm wondering, how much faith do we have that God can move the mountains in our brothers and sisters' lives? That's charity. I hope you understand, prayer time's not, look, taking prayer requests, it's not just a formality. That's an important, serious time for this church. And there's been some great mountains moved, not just Miss Deal, not just WLRV. I'm talking about, you guys remember when Callie was born? That's a big mountain got moved right there, wasn't it, guys? It's just, I tell you, it's just of God that Michael's here tonight. But I remember when Ava was on the way. Boy, those reports come back. We recommend. And, brother, I appreciate y'all standing firm on that and saying, nope, we're going to trust God. You know what God did? He said, let's move this mountain over here. Now, what kind of mountains do we need to try to move for some other people tonight? You know what? Brother Scott's got a mountain tonight in Denmark. It's a flat country over there, but it's got a mountain, right? How much are we praying for that mountain to be moved over there, folks be saved? How much faith do we have that God will answer that prayer? He said, you just need a little bit of faith. And we don't have enough faith to move a physical mountain, but how about a spiritual mountain? I think we've seen God's hand move enough in this church. There ought to be enough back proof of God's working and God's love and God's ability that when a mountain pops up, we just hit the altar about it. Say, Lord, we know you can move this mountain if you want to. That's the whole message in a nutshell. But it's that simple, right? Well, let's turn to, let's flip back right there. I don't know where you're at. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. The Bible says over there, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, talking about the distribution of those spiritual gifts, says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge," right? That's what we've just talked about speaking and knowledge and understanding and learning. Verse 9, "To another," what? "Faith by the same Spirit." Now, as a pastor, you get really acute to these things, and maybe you all are as well, but you know, when somebody calls, and don't take this the wrong way, but it's just the way I am, immediately, if I'm not expecting that call, I think, what's happened? Right? It's just, when mountains pop up, how do we respond to that? To be honest, some people respond very poorly to that. And they look at the mountain and they think, how are we going to get past this? This thing is huge. Right? If you've ever stood at the base, how many of you have been out west? We need a church mission trip out west. Amen, amen, that's right. If you've ever been out west and you've stood at the base of some of those 13, 15, 18,000 foot mountains, that's an incredible, imposing picture. You know what? That happens in the spiritual life all the time. And it just pops up sometimes. Boom, there's this mountain. And you know what? Some people can't deal with that. So you know what? The Holy Spirit had to give to some people the spiritual gift of faith. Because some people can look at that mountain and they can just say, well, God can move that if you want Him to. God can move that if you ask Him to. And some people say, how are we going to get over the mountain? And other people say, well, just pray. God can move that if you want Him to. Right? That's the whole premise here. And so as prayer requests are brought up in this church, some of us may look at that and say, well, I don't know why they're so worried about that. I mean, God could take care of that. But you know what? In their mind, they're thinking, I don't know how to get over this mountain. Lord, how do I get? What do I do, Lord? This is too much for me. I can't take this. So you know what? Those of us that have the spiritual gift of faith, we need to exercise some charity and ask God to move a mountain for them. You all know what the Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 16. It says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And boy, we got reminded up there at Loving and Leading about how important it is if we're going to pray for God to move some mountains, we have to be clean. We have to have things in order in our life. And I'll tell you what a privilege it is to pray for something, intercessory prayer for somebody on somebody else's behalf, and watch God move that mountain. They're nothing like it. We've talked about some physical mountains that have been moved, and one that's not in our church, but many of us are familiar with, is Hoyt Statzer. That's a big mountain. Big mountain got moved right there. But think about this. We've talked about WLRV. Talked about Brother Scott in Denmark. How about 18 years of God helping us meet that faith promise commitment? There's some pretty big mountains there, weren't there? If we equate dollars to feet, we've had a 17,000 foot mountain. We've had a 30,000 foot mountain. And God moved them. The important part of this, though, if you look there in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2, it says, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And I think what we have to be careful of in all of this, as we're looking at charity, as we're looking at the spiritual gifts God's given us, and we're looking at how we're ministering, we have to be so very careful that we don't allow our pride and self-confidence to rise above the understanding that it's all God's doing. Because it would be one thing and very easy for us to slip into a position of, well, I prayed and God answered my prayer. Versus, we prayed to God and He answered the prayer. Right? We got to be so careful that we don't allow ourselves to try to get any vainglory. Right? And I know there's, we talk about people, we say they're prayer warriors. Right? And we understand that. We understand what we mean by that. And maybe we say about somebody, you know, that person can really get a hold of God. And that might be true. But we've got to be so careful that it doesn't become this, well, I need this person to pray about this because, right? And so it starts to elevate the person who's praying instead of the one who's answering the prayer. Okay? And the charity and all that is, as it says in Galatians, bear you one another's burdens. I know you've got mountains in your lives. That's why we have prayer time. So we can let others know, hey, what this mountain is, I can't get past this thing. I need some help. I need God to move something. I need God to help. Right? Maybe it's fruitlessness in your life. In your, maybe you're not where you want to be or you know you ought to be in your Christian life. You know, God can move that mountain. It could be a physical thing. It could be a family relationship thing. It could be a whole number of things. But I just encourage you tonight, whatever it is, whatever mountain you think you can't get across, Lord said, if you got just a little bit of faith, we can move this thing. And so I hope, church, I hope that as we take these prayer requests, we take these lists, and you go out of here tonight and you go through the week, this coming week, I hope you don't just toss it aside and not remember any of this stuff anymore. We're friends with. They all have big mountains. Every one of them. And all we need is a little bit of faith and an exercise of charity on their behalf. And it's so exciting to see God move those mountains. So I hope tonight, you know, it's real easy, guys. It's real easy to pray for me. It's real easy for me to get down on my knees, my face, and pray for me. It's hard to pray for you. But that's where we need to be. That's the mark of a mature Christian. I'm not saying stop praying for you, because you, right? But I think it would do us all well and it would please the Lord if we'd spend time in that intercessory prayer for others' mountains, that God would move them. And I think He'd be pleased with that. He told us in 2 Timothy 4, pray for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead quiet and peaceful lives in all godliness and honesty. Our country is facing a big mountain right now. Everybody I talk to, they just out of their minds, man. What are we going to do? You know, trust in God. What else are you going to do? Right? But you know, some people can't just say that. Some people can't settle on that. So we need to pray for them. We need to pray for Mr. Trump and the whole cabinet, all that are coming in. Pray to be saved. You keep praying for Hillary to be saved. You never know, man. You just never know. There's mountains all around us. We live in a mountain. That's a blessed place to live, isn't it? Man. You know what's great about a mountain sometimes? The view is really nice from the top, isn't it? How much charity do we have one for another? I hope we've got some. Amen. Let's pray. Father,